Thank you, Jesus.
You may be seated. Oh, I thought as I was singing that song, oh, happy day. What a day to just stand up here and give God all the glory and all the praise. And oh, God, how we worship you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to talk just a few minutes, seconds, whatever, not very long, on praise. Do you realize that we can be free in our worship to the Lord? It does not matter where one's worship is, where you're at. You could be in a car. You could be anywhere. Worship is not a form and it's not a ceremony. Thank you, Lord. But it's a spiritual reality which is in harmony with the nature of God, who is spirit. Who is spirit. And we worship him in spirit. Worship must also be in truth. That is transparent, sincere, according to the Bible. According to the Bible. Not according to churches or anybody that's leading the world. It's according to the Word of God. We need to worship God frequently, using your spiritual language as well as your understanding. You need to draw on Jesus' life and healing while partaking in the body and in the blood in the Lord's Supper. Do not allow your ministry for Jesus to distract you from your more important ministry to him. To him, and give him praise. Reject independence from God. We need to increase, deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says the Lord is my praise. Praise him in the trial of your faith. Praise the Lord for his free infinite grace, so great and so glorious. Hallelujah. Praise is a part of worship. Thank you, Lord. I want to read some scriptures that I was reading this morning about praise. It's a part of public worship. I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you amongst many people in Psalms 35, 18. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. For who in heaven can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those who are around him. We need more of that today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in his congregation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, we give you the praise today. We worship you. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, oh, you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Sing praises this morning to our Lord. We are free to worship the Lord. God's kingdom right now is at hand. We need to draw close, near to God. You need to examine your heart this morning and let's just worship the King of Kings and let's just give him all the praise that there is to give him. We love him this morning and we thank him that he is the Almighty God. We thank him that his presence is amongst us today. Hallelujah. It said praise him in the congregation and let's worship the King of Kings. No, who he is. Know that he talks to us. Know that he walks with us. And he'll forever want us to give him glory and honor because we worship our King this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've said it over and over. Our children, our grandchildren, our people need to reverence God more and more and more. And they need to have the fear of God in them. If some of these things that are going on today in this world, if they had the fear of God, a lot of it wouldn't be going on. They have no fear of God. They don't fear we're even made. They don't care what's going on. I'm telling you right now, we need to lift up the name of Jesus. We need to worship his holy name this morning. We need to give him all of our praise. We need to praise him with every breath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I come to you today. Lord, I lift up your name. I worship you, and I know, God, you are the King of Kings. I pray today, God, for your presence in this sanctuary. I pray, God, your people get so filled, so full, when they walk out of here and they walk down the street, they'll worship the King of Kings. They'll know who their God is, and no one will scare them. We'll be bold for you today, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
It was unusual, Brother Allen. Usually women don't minister to men. We, you know, we try to keep that apart. But this is the strongest word that I've had in a long time, and this is it. You haven't missed it. It hasn't passed you by. You didn't sit down and it got ahead of you. You are in the flow. Your steps are ordered. Your work is before you. There are the work of your hands is coming to you. There are blessings before you. You are in it. You are in it to win it.
It simply says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. You can't drum it up. You can't dream it up that God can't do it up. Hey, that was pretty good. I'll have to go back and listen to that one. If I could do it again, I'd do it. But think about it. God is so awesome. He's so awesome that he yearns. He wants. He desires. We just got done singing, there's power in the name of Jesus. But I always love when we get to that section, he's raising up an army. And his army is just like America's army. All voluntary. No one gets drafted. No one gets special privileges. We all start out as a plain, ordinary soldier. Amen? Simple. Childlike faith moves his mighty hands. I think of God's providence in that scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, I know I can think pretty big. I know you think I'm crazy when I say about 1,000 seat sanctuary. I know you think I'm crazy about $35,000 for parking lot. My God is able. I'm foolish enough, and especially I'm stubborn enough to trust God, to believe God, to have confidence in God. You're a walking miracle. Amen. A walking miracle. only believe. Thank you, worship team. We'll bring you back up in a few minutes. I'm so thankful that our worship team never gets mad at me, especially my band.
Band's very patient.
But I believe by now every one of them truly understands that I'll obey God each and every time. And I know there was others that should have come up here this morning. It wasn't a divine revelation. I just know people. It's not my first day on the job as pastor. Been in church work long enough to know that, yeah, I'll say this. I'm stubborn in the way that you're stubborn because you don't respond to altar services. But I'm stubborn in the opposite direction. And you need to turn that stubbornness around for the kingdom work. For God to perform in you so that he can perform through you and accomplish great things. You missed a good spot to say amen.
Amen.
Come on, Aaron. Did you go to sleep on me? I knew you didn't.
Thank you.
6 inches. 7'6". And I'm going, and I told the guy that measured it before me, and I says, do you see what just happened? And he, like, well, measures, we might have missed it. No, I purposely sent you over there for a reason to measure this so you would see the miracle that's going to take place.
Amen.
You measured 8 feet last week. I measured 8 feet. I walked away and I asked, told what you called, go ask your number what your measurement was. We all were in agreement, 8 foot. Thursday when we loaded it, it was 7'6".
Amen. Come on, let's give him praise. That's the thing about God that we need to grab a hold of today. That, yeah, we know he's a God of our salvation. We can trust him for our salvation. But anything else we struggle with, we have problems with. Yeah, we can believe on, you know, maybe a toe ache, a finger ache, a headache. But the greatest thing to grab a hold of is that he cares about each and everything of your particular life. He can take that machine and shrink it down. Anything and everything is possible with him. What does the Bible say? All things are possible. The Bible also says nothing is too difficult for him. But understand this, God doesn't think of Brother Bill any differently than he does you. Anybody that has received a miracle in a healing, in a deliverance, is no different than you. Amen?
Amen?
Salvation is easy to believe, which is mind-boggling. Salvation, how God can save me, let alone you. How he can save anybody. Because we're so corrupt. But we just got done singing. There's power in the name of Jesus. Yes, there's power to save us. There's power to heal us. There's power to deliver us. There's power to give us signs and wonders. There's miracles other than just a healing. And I'm not talking when I say deliverance from demonic oppression or demonic struggles. But I'm talking about being delivered from ourselves, from our wrong thinking, from our strongholds, from our own emotions. Our emotions are our worst enemy that we have in our bodies. Well, it's not here, but what we think. I'm glad I don't go by feelings, because I'd have quit a long time ago. But think about it. God is all in control. God is able to do what he said he would do. And I told Brother Paul it was his fault. He come in this morning and he said, well, are you going to preach what you preached the last couple weeks? I said, I don't know. Then I had to talk to him just a minute before service, and I said, well, you know it's your fault, don't you? He said, my fault? What do you mean? I said, it was your message Wednesday night. God gave me something. And that something is God's promise. God's provisions. And I stress the provisions, mental, physical, spiritual, financial, relationship, boxing up a big old machine that's too big. Bless you. Nothing is too difficult. And it doesn't matter whether you're the youngest to the eldest in here or listening by the live stream. It doesn't matter what part of the state you're from, whether it's you're in the south, north, east, west, whether you're in a different country altogether, around the world. But God is God all over. And He's a God of provision. What is God's provisions? Anything and everything. Doesn't matter. We need to believe Him. We need to trust in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Brother Paul said something about Jehovah Jireh. And that's when it clicked with me. One time in the Bible it's mentioned, and it's one of those things that if you really look at it, it doesn't say Jehovah Jireh in our language. But if you go to the book of Genesis, and you see in the book of, Genesis 22:14, in that area you'll find the story about Abraham and Isaac. They were on their way to the mountain. And we all know the story about the lamb that was caught in the to take substitute for the sacrifice that Abraham was going to do with Isaac. And the simple statement, this, and he called the place the mountain of provision. Jehovah Jireh just simply means He's our provider. In the Old Testament, it was said to be Yahweh. And I'm not even going to try to attempt Jireh. You can have your own pronunciation. You can figure that one out, can't you? But think about it. When we understand that even in a spiritual aspect of Abraham and Isaac's life, we need to understand that God provided the sacrificial lamb. Gee, isn't that a story that we can relate to with Jesus Christ being our substitute? The substitute, the sacrificial substitute for your sins, my sins, our sins, everybody and anything. But I'm glad that the Lord is our provider. God is raising up an army to be the one that will proclaim. And I know when I call up the worship team, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountaintops. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name of Jesus. That's what the army of God is getting ready to do. And that's what we're trying to do and accomplish with our outreach that we're trying to do. Amen? You might think it's silly to wear t-shirts somewhere. But it's pretty awesome to be able to talk to people. The first farmer's market up on Claremont Avenue that we went to, the guy selling the kettle corn or whatever they call it, he said, oh, is that the one in Jonesville? Nope, sorry, we're here in town. Well, where are we at? Well, we're down on Steel Avenue. Got to talk to someone the other day. The son was working on our van. And his mom and dad's been up from Florida for about a month now. And lo and behold, she's a Pentecostal. I said, well, tell you what, because she'll be here, I believe, one Sunday anyhow before she goes back home, hopefully. I said, well, you keep working on Greg, and I'll keep working on Mick, because Mick and Greg are friends since high school, or really junior high. It's amazing how we can make that connection. God's provisions are all around us. We need to be watching and looking and waiting for. You know what we need to understand also? Is Philippians 4:19, and most of us can quote that one too. And my God. And my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory. How? By Christ Jesus, the sacrificial lamb that took our place, that made the provisions, that God has paid in full the price for each and everything to be accomplished in your life. So let me ask you a question. And I'm looking at every one of us. And I'm even talking to myself. Then why do we struggle? Because you keep trying it in the flesh. And there was another thing that Brother Paul said about the three Hebrew children. Even if my God doesn't, we're not going to bow. And we think that we have to have that miracle, and that miracle pops into place. It's still up to God. My back has killed me all week. Found out I got a weird, rare thing going on in my back now. He didn't miraculously heal me last week. He could heal me this week. It's fine with me. But even if he doesn't, that doesn't change that he's a healer. That doesn't change the fact that he is able to heal and to deliver from that pain, that affliction of sickness, and even death. Even if my God doesn't, that's fine with me. Because I know one day that death isn't going to affect me any longer. My body's going to be created afresh and anew. I don't know. Am I going to be back in my 20s? No, that was my rebellion speaking, so I don't think that'll make heaven. Your 30s? Someone said something the other day. I think it was you, Brother Joe, out doing the front light. Can't remember how you said it. Oh, they were talking to Paul Jr. about his weight loss. And Paul said, well, he was down to 200. I said, Lord have mercy, I can't remember when I was 200. That's too far back there. Hey, it's bought and paid for, nobody can take it from me. I keep telling her, just let me die fat and happy with a smile on my face. I know I'm going to get it when I get home. God's providence. You say in times, and especially in this turmoil in our country, and it's not only in our country, but it's in France and the UK and Spain and Italy and Ireland and all them other countries. It's all around the world, the turmoil that's going on. And here's your sign, people. Here's your sign that we don't have much time left to do the kingdom work that God wants us to do. You better start speaking up, speaking out. Shout it from the mountaintop. Shout it from the rooftop. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Don't complicate the message of hope and peace. Just say Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And I think of the signs that I see in some of our people's windows still today. Just before Jesus was crucified, the people of that day had the option, Barabbas or Jesus. And of course, the people chose Barabbas. But I say, give us Jesus. Amen. 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 Even when we're in the minority, with Jesus, we're in the majority. Amen. God is able. In Isaiah 43, 1 through 5, Isaiah writes, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel? Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned." Even if you don't deliver us, we're not going to bow. Amen. Amen. "Nor shall the flame scorch you." For you see, when the three Hebrews got out of there, they didn't even smell like smoke. But yet the guards were burned up because the king turned it up 7 times hotter. That's a different message. Listen to Brother Paul's. "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life." And verse 5 finishes out and says, "Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west." And today we have people that still ask, well, where is God? Where is God? God is everywhere. Yes, he's in the God of the, he's God of the turmoil and chaos that we have in our world today. He's still king. He's still Lord. He's still able to do, but he won't cross people's desires and wants. But it's one thing to understand that God is before his people. You can read Micah 2:13. God is behind his people. Psalm 139:5. God is above his people. Deuteronomy 33:12. God is beneath his people. Isaiah 40:11. God is around his people, Psalm 125:2. God is with his people, Matthew 1:23. God is in the midst of his people, Isaiah 12:6. God is in his people, 1 Corinthians 3:16. God is not only by our side, but he also carries our burdens while carrying us. And I think the most precious, beautiful poem is footprints in the sand. Right away we jump to conclusions. But God says when the time that you saw only one set of footprints, it wasn't you walking by yourself. It was me who carried you through those dark times. Amen. God is still God. I want you to stand with me. I want you to bow your heads with me. I know we could go around the room. And I know that most of us are saved and on our way to heaven, so that's not an option that we need to look into. But I do know some of you are struggling, that you're hurting. I don't want us to become the army of God that what the church has become in many, many situations and many places. And what do I mean by that? I mean by that the church is the only army that the majority of time kill their wounded. The scripture talks about if my brother and sister hurt, I should hurt. If my brother and sister laugh, we should rejoice together. The hurt and the heartache, the brokenness, the loneliness, the majority of it is pride. Because we let pride, our pride. Well, what will people think? Well, who cares what people think? And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to say to you today that these altars are open, that you don't have to walk back out of here. Jehovah Jireh is here, your provider. Whatever it is that you need, if you need that healing, he's your healer. If you need that deliverance, he's your deliverer. If he's your stronghold breaker, chain crasher, he's our strong tower that we're able to run to. Isaiah said, "Fear not, for I am with you." That's God speaking. Where is your God? Do you keep him in a box in your closet at home? Or do you proudly wear the banner of love that God has given to his children? His banner of hope. So at this time, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. But I also want you that need to respond. You didn't earlier. God's getting ready to do some more shaking on this earth. You say, well, I don't know how it can't get any worse. Trust me, it can get worse. Get a lot worse. But even in that times of trouble, what does the word say? I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. The Lord, He is the one. There's power in the name of Jesus. I want you to respond as they begin.